Today on Pilgrim Radio's His People, Gaia Moore on her transformation after encountering Christ.
God can give you the spirit of peace that you've been so desperately seeking. God sent His one and only Son to die a humiliating death so that you and I can be saved, because you and I are the joy set before Him. God loves you so much, He wants you with Him for eternity.
Gaia Moore, next. As you'll hear in today's discussion, Gaia Moore, an Israeli who previously identified as transgender and battled intense anxiety and loneliness, found faith in Jesus after discovering the New Testament felt deeply Jewish. Here's Sean Kohler.
Gaia, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about you.
Hi, everyone. I'm very excited to speak to you all. My name is Gaia Moore. I'm a believer in Jesus. I used to not believe in Jesus. I will say that I used to make really disrespectful music, disrespectful to God. And I'm grateful that He saved me and that He told me what to write, things that glorify Him. So I will say I am a musician. I'm a multi-instrumentalist. And you can find me on Spotify, any streaming platform. I'm on social media. I don't know what I'm supposed to post, but I post occasionally. I try to glorify God with my music as much as I can. And so if you guys are looking for Christian grunge, that's what I'm going for.
Tell us about, where you come from. Sort of like you just told us what you do now. But if you want to tell us where you come from, you can mention that you came from Israel, that you moved out to the United States, all of that.
I was born in the U.S., but my whole family lives in Israel, other than my immediate family, whom I live with right now. None of them are saved, just me. I'm a first-generation believer. Praise God. I will say that I speak fluent Hebrew. I read and write in Hebrew as well. I lived in Israel for 7.5 years. I used to think I'm a boy. I was groomed into thinking I'm a boy. I was also groomed into New Age therapy and believing crazy New Age things. And yeah, my family celebrated the holidays, the Jewish holidays. And so we are Jewish. We're just not Orthodox. And right now I'm in the U.S. and I have a church I go to. They celebrate the Christian holidays, which I'm fine with. I don't have an issue with that. What I will say about it and how I feel is that if only the Christians would celebrate the Jewish holidays, then the Jews would see how thoroughly Jewish the New Testament really is.
Yeah. So do you go to a standard Protestant Christian church? Is there no Messianic church congregation in the area?
No.
Mm. I found that to be something that is difficult to find for Messianic believers. Is there's a lack of congregations unless you're in a big city or something like that. But let's go back a little bit and tell us how. Let's get to that journey of how you came to identify as transgendered.
So as I said, I was groomed into New Age therapy. I was having anger issues at home. I had no friends. School was very hard. Come to find out later that I'm autistic. I have high functioning autism. Back then, socially in school, things were hard. I also went through a lot of setbacks and traumas. So my family was trying to find out what's wrong with me. And so we went to this spiritual therapist. Well, we went to a bunch, but this one was the one who suggested I may be transgender. We went to this therapist and she said a bunch of things. She said I was a terrible person in my past life, that I raped and maimed people, and that basically, mainly that's what she said. And she gave me a few characters of doing that in different past lives, which we know past lives are not real.
Can I ask real quick, as a therapist, how did she come to this conclusion?
I honestly believe that she was just a witch, and I don't think she was a real, I don't think she was licensed. She had a bunch of diplomas on her wall.
So she was very New Age spiritual sort of counseling, yeah.
Yeah, that was the only type of therapy that I would be put in. No normal therapy at all, zero. So it was all a bunch of people who had their own ideas about the spiritual realm. I genuinely believe that she's a witch. And following my CBN interview, there were some comments suggesting she was a witch. Because of the things that I told and the things that happened after getting into quote-unquote therapy with her, I will say that the first day that her and I met, or the second, she said, a black thing will come out of you and you'll just feel a black thing coming out of you, signaling that I will be relieved from my suffering and my pain. And following that, the following morning, I stepped out of my room that morning, and my mom and my sister told me I grew taller. So I thought maybe she has something for me that can help me. And my family believed the lies about who I was in my past life, and that this is why I'm suffering. She also said a few days in of us knowing each other, she said, the reason why I have no friends, the reason why I'm suffering is because I'm gay. I think I came home that night and I was about to go to sleep. And then I thought, well, maybe she has a point. I'm desperate for some answers and she might have the answers. She's the adult in my life. She's the one that I was brought to help me. I was 16, so I was underage, and I was not capable of deciding what I am, who I am, but I was told what I am, and it was false. My sister studies psychology. She told me that autistic people are more susceptible to grooming like this.
Yeah. I know that I've heard from a few people who have been through this journey where they were transgendered and then came out of it, that for them it very much felt like it was a pressure on them to say, we think you're this way, and so therefore you should live this way. And sometimes from parents and family, and sometimes just from friends, but that seems to be a common thread that I keep hearing, is that it's a pressure that's put on them.
Amen. Yeah, it's a demonic pressure that the devil put into people's hearts to say. And I also heard that people who become transgender are actually survivors of sexual trauma, which that's what I am. Coming out of transgenderism, coming out of that mental illness, that was before I was saved. So I was watching LGBT influencers calling out the ridiculousness of the transgender community and some things that just didn't make sense. One of them was Blair White, and I was watching Blair White constantly. Blair White uses this a lot, which is make it make sense. And so just helping, that was helping me think critically. At first, when I was telling myself that I'm a woman, being a trauma survivor, I felt violated almost physically when I told myself that I'm a woman. and I forcefully told myself that I'm a woman repeatedly until the feeling of violation went away and I came to be comfortable in my own skin. Now, so the way I came to it, to thinking this way, is I had no friends, I was lonely, she's the adult, she's telling me what I'm supposed to be better. And so that night I imagined myself kissing a woman. I deeply regret that, but it felt right. I mean, when you think about it, sin always feels right sometimes. Mm-hmm. Until the Lord shows up and tells you and gives you a bonk to the head and tells you to stop.
Yeah. But it's like a temporary good feeling, right? Until
yes.
until shame or whatever comes along. And
yeah, that's interesting that you say that. It's sort of as if the devil encourages you to sin. He tells you how good it's going to feel. And then after you sin, he's the one condemning you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it puts those that fear and shame and anxiety and all of that in your head after the fact. So we know the devil is a liar. So
the father of lies.
Yep. So with all of this that's happened, how did you end up sort of meeting Jesus in your life?
Yeah, so I went through a few different spiritual avenues to seek, to find out what's going on with my mental health. It felt like the people around me were not the nicest. Nobody was able to support me the way God did, but thank God, God is healing my relationship with my family, and we're doing so good right now, and I just praise God for that. But before that, things were very, very hard for me especially, and it was hard. So the way I came to Jesus was sort of after I said, that's it, no more meditations, no more mantras, no more anything that has to do with the spiritual realm. The only thing I'm going to think about is what's logical, what's real, what I can see, and to be a critical thinker and just think critically and not even go into anything that's in the spiritual realm. I'm just not going to go there. I'm not going to think about it. I had, after Regina, there was a shaman who, he sexually abused me, and he said he was working with Jesus Christ. And the same thing with spiritual therapist who told me I'm transgender. She told people she can teach them how to speak to God, and she would talk in the name of God. And she actually told me, well, God, I just spoke with God, and God told you that you shouldn't make music. And I was really sad after that. And she said, I sense a dark cloud around you. What's going on? Well, obviously, she told me I shouldn't make music. And so music was my support system. When I didn't have friends or God, music was my friend. And then there's the shaman who, he didn't just work with Jesus Christ. He didn't work with Jesus Christ, but he didn't just say he worked with Jesus Christ. He said he worked with Babaji and all of those other spiritual gurus and masters that are dead in the ground, not alive, and fake. So I was very susceptible to any predator that came along. And I was groomed into spiritual therapy. So I was apprehensive over anything spiritual. And actually, whenever I thought about him, my mind would get blurry. My right eye would get blurry. And I don't know if it's a somatic response or what, but I just figured to stop thinking about anything spiritual at all, not even meditate. I still don't. The only thing I do is meditate, is fix my thoughts on God's word rather than meditate and breathe. And because I'm really traumatized and God is healing me. So, yeah. So anyways, I was desperate. I was going through self-harm at that point. I sort of felt like Dobby from Harry Potter, where when his masters weren't around and he thought he said something wrong, he had to self-harm, and Harry had to stop him. And I felt like Jesus stopped me, finally. Basically, I was at this point of having suicidal ideations every single day. God presented me with the choice. It's either you suffer to the point of making the huge mistake of committing suicide, and that goes for everybody listening. The huge mistake of committing suicide, it's a huge mistake. Or, and I speak for myself here, I will not tell anyone what to do, but I will speak for myself that it felt like God said, or you can give the New Testament a shot. And I figured, why not? It's free. When I opened the New Testament, I saw how Jewish it was, and I was very surprised. It started with the genealogy of Jesus, which is all from the Tanakh, which was awesome. To find out Jesus's name was actually Yeshua from salvation just made me connect with the New Testament even more. And then I saw that there were rabbis and synagogues. And to find out that the famous painting of the Last Supper was actually a Passover dinner was so awesome. I did not know that. So to know that they were celebrating Jewish holidays, there was no Christmas. There was no Easter. There was Jesus cared so much about the Shabbat, and so all these things that were so thoroughly Jewish, the disciples were Jewish. I mean, the wisdom was biblical and Jewish, and I saw that. When I saw that, I felt connected to it. Then, as I was reading it, I don't know how to explain this, but every time I would read it, I would just fall asleep. This never happened to me with any other book or movie. When I would read it, I would fall asleep almost instantly at first. And I kept reading it and kept reading it. And every time I would feel sleepy. I don't know how to explain it, but I think it's the peace of God. I would say it's the peace of God, just because finally some pieces. I just felt so much peace when I was reading it. That I didn't feel after closing the Bible. And being
it's
a new
it's
believer,
like he was giving you rest.
Yes, yeah. He that's how it felt exactly. Actually, after that and becoming a new believer, I got Bibles for every place in the house so that I'll be able to just open it and read it and feel at peace.
Wow. Did you you had gone through New Age spirituality and all that, but being Jewish, did you have already a history with the Tanakh, with the Old Testament?
Yes. So studying in school in Israel, we studied the first five books of Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
What's funny is the teachers complained to my mom that I was not listening. And when she would do homework with me and go over the homework with me, she told me that I knew the subject by heart, and she told me the subject was Bible study, which was cool. I love Moses. I love everything that was going on there. It's just so epic. God is so epic, the way he parted the sea and did the 10 plagues, being so patient with Pharaoh, all those things. I'm just and seeing now, being a believer in Jesus, seeing the prophecies that were in all throughout the Tanakh is just mind blowing. And to have the privilege to be guided by the Spirit to read everything, not just the first five books, is so awesome.
So your parents, how they were in sort of the New Age spirituality with you, where are they at right now as far as their journey?
I will say that my dad believes in God, not in Jesus, Reformed Jew, secular Jew. And I will say that my mom is starting to sort of, seems like she's getting out of New Age and she's more just reading the Bible for herself, which is awesome. She just recently asked me to give her the book that I was using it because she didn't want to, but the book that our neighbor gave us, our Christian neighbor gave her, a Hebrew Bible with the New Testament.
Oh, very cool.
Inside. Very cool. And so she finally asked me to have it. And so I would ask for continued prayer for my whole family because I'm the only one who's saved.
Amen. And yeah, so whoever's listening, always, you know, we take the time for prayer, especially to lift up our brothers and sisters. So take the time after listening to this to pray for Gaia and her family. It sounds like they're tugging at your mom's heart, at least, which is beautiful. If you guys can come together and united in Jesus, would be great. So for anyone listening, be sure to be praying for Gaia and her family. So before we take off, I wanted to ask you if you had anything that you wanted to say to encourage somebody who might be going through a similar situation as you, or have a, or if they're confused about their gender, if there's New Age spirituality, whatever it is, what would you say to them to encourage them and let them know about Jesus?
To anyone who's, let's say, New Age or transgender or Jewish, anything, if you're going through a lot, and even if you're not, but I will say to those who are going through a lot, God hates that you're going through a lot. God hates that you are in pain right now. He wants you with Him. He wants you following Him. He wants to give you His peace. He does ask that you repent and follow His commands. I made a bed for myself in hell before I was saved. And it felt like hell was in my heart. Nothing was able to help me. And therapy was a thin rope made of ice that I was hoping wouldn't break. But eventually, that was going to crack too. So I will say that I just want to encourage you to seek God, because He is real. To live a life thinking He doesn't exist, to me, the way I see it, it's a miserable life. God can give you a full heart. He put eternity in our hearts. He put a void that only He can fill. God can give you the spirit of peace that you've been so desperately seeking. God sent His one and only Son to die a humiliating death so that you and I can be saved, because you and I are the joy set before Him. God loves you so much, He wants you with Him for eternity. To know that there's eternity afterwards is such a comforting thought. That way, rushing doesn't seem like an urgent thing that we must do, because we'll have eternity with God. He will wipe away every tear. There will be no sun. There wouldn't be a need, because God is the source of light, and He is brighter than the sun. I won't tell you what to do. I will just speak from my own experience. I highly encourage you guys to read the Bible and keep seeking and keep knocking and keep praying to God. God, are you really real? Do you really want to help me? What should I do? And of course, Jesus says to count the cost. And that's when you count the cost. And that's when you realize God is priceless and worth more than anything this world could offer you.
Well, thank you so much for joining us here on His People. We really appreciate you coming on and sharing your testimony. It's a powerful testimony.
Thank you.
You've been listening to His People on Pilgrim Radio. Many thanks to our guest, Messianic Jewish believer in Jesus, Gaia Moore. On tomorrow's program, it's Diane Ferraro on Save the Storks and the status of the pro-life movement.
Our mobile medical clinic is really a modern-day vessel of divine deliverance, because when a woman steps on board, she sees the baby on the ultrasound, she hears the baby's heartbeat, and 3 out of 4 times, she chooses life for her child. So again, just like that basket rescued Moses from death, our mobile medical clinics are rescuing children. And it's such a privilege and an honor to be used by God in this way for this ministry.
That's tomorrow at the same time, right here on His People. Thanks for listening.